Tonight on Big Head Mode, we're talking powers, video game powers. That's because, of course, we're reviewing a little bit late, but definitely worth it. Life is Strange. Joined in the studio by Carlo and Jenna from Multiple Nerdgasm. First time on the show, Jenna?
Yeah, hello. Nice to be here.
Yeah, look, thanks for coming. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got games, video games, entertainment devices, usually in an electronic form.
And all sorts of games.
Just all the games.
We're exploring all platforms. We're like George Lucas.
A legend of all systems. That's all coming up on 2RRR's only gaming show, Big Head Mode. That's right, you're on Big Head Mode. Welcome, I'm your host, Ben O'Brien. Joined now on a wonderful yellow new microphone, it's Carlo Ritchie.
That's right, for those listening at home or on the podcast, it is a yellow microphone cover.
And boy, it looks fetchy.
Yep, enter the world of radio.
Woo, woo, woo. And with a wonderful orange, a bright orange, it is Jenna from Multiple Nerdgasm. We've now had both you, we've had Matt.
Yep.
I mean, we've got to get the whole gang on
eventually. Yeah, it's going to be a bit difficult. The other two are not in Sydney.
Oh, that's all right.
The one's in Singapore. You'll have to fly him over.
We'll Skype him in.
Yep. He won't get to use these fancy mics, though.
We'll kickstart it. Because, hey, look, I mean, there are more ridiculous things to Kickstarter. I mean, I wanted to talk about this later, but did you guys read about the Star Wars game Kickstarter?
No.
It's pretty incredible. I mean, we all love Star Wars, right?
Who doesn't?
Ugh.
And how much would you love a great just Star Wars open world RPG?
Well, they tried to make one. It was awful. They've made two now, and they're both awful.
What, RPGs?
Yeah.
What? Oh, wait. Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, MMORPGs.
You're thinking MMO.
Yeah.
RPG, the stuff of dreams.
Oh,
Carl.
Yeah.
The stuff of
I would
dreams.
Love one.
Yeah, no, that'd be great.
I know.
Well, that is exactly what this young man, Devin Tripp, thought.
Can he legally do that?
Nope. No, he can't. And he practically can't do it either. He, as a single person, has kickstarted what is just called on Kickstarter Star Wars Open World RPG. He wants $200,000 because, hang on, there's a great quote. He didn't know how much it would cost. He just figured that seemed like a good amount.
Yeah, more than that.
And it's estimated to release in December 2017.
What are the tiers? Do you get any other?
There were four reward tiers.
Yep, yep.
The first two were the same reward, which was just a signed letter that says thanks from him. Then it was a copy of the game. And then it was like, if you paid $1,500, you'd get named like a lightsaber or a planet. It wasn't specific. But I love this guy's optimism because there is no way in hell this is going to...
No.
Well, he doesn't have the rights.
No, you know,
there's like literally everything that could be against you to make a game is against this guy.
Yeah.
He has a list where he talks about the risks involved, and one of them is like, don't have any professional game developers. It's fantastic. It's so funny.
Actually, that brings up an important point, though, and that is, I heard whispers, and you guys might know if these are true whispers, that BioWare got the rights to an unnamed Star Wars game. Is that right?
I believe it is. Well, EA have all the rights now to Star Wars games.
Mm.
And when they first got the rights, there were three studios that were working on games.
It was
One
DICE.
Was DICE. The other was Visceral, who made Dead Space.
Yeah.
And then the other was meant to be supposedly BioWare.
Yeah.
But it seems like that Visceral will be the next one to be... sort of revealed.
So BioWare's a watch this space scenario.
Yes, yeah, so you want a Mass Effect Star Wars.
Yeah,
that's all we want.
That's all I want. Wouldn't it be amazing just as a renegade choice, you can just force lightning someone while they're speaking?
Now, speaking of, I mean, because obviously, Carlo, I know you're a huge fan of Knights of the Old Republic.
Big fan.
We just started, literally like 2 minutes before the show started, we just started talking about if you could erase your memory of a particular game so you could play it over again afresh, what games would you play?
Yeah, and we were talking about... Jenna suggested... You suggested BioWare.
BioShock. Yeah,
or just all of BioWare as well.
Everything.
Chuck them all
the
in.
The whole catalogue.
BioShock
No, BioShock,
would be
the original. It, just the story of that game would be so incredible to live again without remembering.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, Ben, you're wanting me to say Knights of the Old Republic so that I could, you know, relive all of those.
No, you don't
is
have
not
to.
Your answer?
I think Bioware. I think BioShock is a good one. Yeah. I really think it is. That's pretty tip-top.
It's pretty solid. Because there's some games you don't want, like games that had sort of bummer endings, like Red Dead Redemption, great game, but it got darker and heavier as it went on. Whereas if I could just play the first 20 minutes of that game and then nothing else,
or just play
it would be like great.
Yeah, yeah. Or just play the bit where you're just running your ranch with your family and everything's great,
and then just stop.
Shooting crows off the water tank. Yeah. Yeah.
What a fun game. That
would be. That would be amazing.
In fact, just start from there as well and miss everything before that. No, I'm surprised you didn't say the Mass Effect trilogy, because that would be a great thing to do.
It would be really cool to play through again, but part of the reason that I think I enjoy it so much is that each time I play it through, I get to learn more about different characters and what different decisions have ultimately outcomed, you know? So
yeah, that's right. Like, with BioShock, it's just one story the whole way. You don't really influence it too much.
And it's such an incredible twist, you know? Like, that, it would be amazing to have that again. It turns out they were in space the whole time.
Turns out it was just a sort of a metaphysical space, not an actual space.
That it was 1958.
Yeah, that'd be a great one. And you were saying before that you're finally trying to finish Tomb Raider, the Definitive Edition. I'd happily erase my memory of that. And all the Batman games, I think. The Arkham games.
The only complaint that I have with Tomb Raider at this stage is that there are so many little mini challenges, and it does feel a bit awkward to sort of be like,
oh, well, yeah, hold on, guys. Yeah. Just, you wait for that boat.
I gotta find me some eggs.
Yeah, I agree.
And it does sort of feel a bit, when a developer does something like that, it's sort of like, hey, look at this amazing story we've made, but also, keep an eye out for those flags.
Well, it was like with Zelda, where they're like, you have to do this. Ganon is going to kill everyone. He's like, cool, cool. Do you need help with these chickens?
See, that was most of my experience of Fallout 4, which was just like, you've got this incredibly personal story that you've got to track down this you know, family member. And then it's just like, but also, while you're here, just, you know, explore. It's like,
Have a bit of fun. That's the big problem that... Since Morrowind, all of those big games have had huge problems with is just... In Morrowind, it was like they encourage you to explore. They say, hey, before you do this mission, why don't you go on, join some guilds and become really powerful? But in every other game after that, it's sort of been like, you've got to get there, otherwise the whole world's going
to
collapse.
Yeah, Tomb Raider, especially when you're like, your friend is in danger. You have to rescue Sam. And you're like, yeah, cool, I will. Just want to collect some things because this is really interesting to me. Yeah.
But especially like in Skyrim, if you do it all... in the other order, like you could be the head of the mages guild and then go back to some really low level main story quest and they're like, who's this here bloody chicken chaser? You might not have heard of me. I'm the most powerful warlock in the entire north region of your country. No, I ain't never even heard of you. Good times though.
Yeah,
good
classic
times.
Classic Bethesda.
I like, maybe if I could just erase like portions of games from my memory, just for my own sake.
They were bad.
Yeah, or just character. Like, if I could get rid of Caden or Ashley from the Mass Effect games.
You don't like Caden and Ashley?
Nah, they're awful. They're awful.
Poor Ben.
They're only like,
doesn't understand the games.
Even though I hate Ashley the most, I kept Ashley alive in my subsequent playthroughs just so that I could watch her die at the end of Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, I
think that really brutal way. Burn in hell, Commander. Great. And I don't regret a minute of that.
Would you delete anything from your memory, Jenna, of just specific parts of games?
Of just specific parts?
Yeah.
Like, because I didn't like them? Or because...
Or just if there was anything that you could just specifically take out of a game.
Oof, I'll have to give that a minute. Because I feel like if I was to take something out, I'd be like, wow, that game was terrific.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to go back and play it again.
That would be my worry.
And then
you delete Aliens Colonial Marines and have to play it again.
I really love my time with Aliens Colonial Marines, but for some reason all I can remember is the opening titles.
Yeah.
Just had a great menu screen.
Yeah,
I remember tears when I finished. Were they joy? I don't know.
Better find out.
Now, where did I put my copy? Where are there shards of a shattered disc in my game drawer?
We got two copies of that game so we could play together.
Oh,
that's... worst purchase.
Oh man, that is.
Did you guys go through all the way through?
Oh, we didn't even make it all the way.
Wow.
I think we did three player. It was Luke from Multiple Nerdgasm as well, and we tried to record it even. Like, this is not even entertaining.
Yeah, I've heard that, though. I've heard that you can't actually record it. It's not physically possible. Like, no human-made equipment can capture any vision or sound from that game. It just sort of, it burns itself automatically. Harrowing. Harrowing. Look, let's go to a song. This is the Fallout 4 main theme. A cappella version.
What?
That's right. Found on YouTube. So what do you know? We'll be back after this to talk about show and tells. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. And we're back. We're back. That was the Fallout 4 main theme in a cappella.
Yeah.
One bloke. One bloke making all the noises with his mouth.
That's pretty good.
Is it though? No, it is. It's impressive.
There's a lot of that. You see a lot of that on YouTube. Like, a cappella seems to be the...
Yeah.
The thing for,
I reckon,
video games.
Maybe we should do that. We should make our own, like, deliberately, like, well, not deliberately, but it would be bad.
Well, Liam and Daniel in Bonus Stage, like in the Bonus Stage band, they're, well, specifically Liam is in a cappella group.
We ain't got time for that professional business. I'm talking raw street a cappella, you know?
Have you heard Smooth McGroove?
I have, yeah. We played a lot
terrific.
Of his stuff.
Yeah.
Smooth McGroove.
Yeah, long beard, long
The
hair.
Best thing about
oh,
him,
yeah,
though.
I've seen that guy.
He's so good.
Best thing about it is just how happy he is to be
I
doing
know.
A cappella.
I know, it's
sits there with his cat and just
and
looks really happy.
Everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, a cappella can bring joy, can't it?
Yeah.
All right. Look, let's go on to show and tell. Carlo, what have you got to show and or tell this week?
Well, I revisited a classic strategy game's soundtrack.
I love not knowing what you're going to talk about.
So,
it's nice to find out on it.
There was a series of games which unfortunately isn't being made anymore. It was called the Sierra City Game, City Building Series, which was made by Sierra Games, which is now defunct. I think they got taken over by Activision or something like
I'm
that.
I'm fact-checking everything you're saying, by the way.
And they made this series of games which are extraordinary, and the best one of the lot, really, to check out is Zeus. Which was, it's set in Greece, you build ancient Greek cities, and it has like the most incredible voice acting cast, and it's so hilariously funny. But
oh, these look really cool. So it's just Sim City, but for historical time periods.
Yeah, and you're just building these cities. But it's, like, Zeus is kind of really fun. Like, it's not particularly historic accurate. Like, you'll build a temple and then the god Dionysus will live in your city and he'll sort of like bring wine to the people and
it's not as gritty and realistic as Sim City was.
It's so comic. Like, I was quoting them the other day. That's what brought it up, was my friend and I were quoting it because we were out up in our hometown and we were like, there's iron in them there hills and I'm gonna get me some, which is one of the lines. Like, when you, every time you click on a guy, like, unrest in the city, shut your mouth. It's nothing I can't handle. Like, every time. It was awesome. And the person who did, I think it may have been the same voice actor, it was definitely inspired, but the person who was the homeless man was the same as old Gil from The Simpsons, like, thrown out of my home. But anyway, the successor to that was a game called Emperor, which was much more serious, but had an extraordinary Chinese soundtrack of, like, traditional Chinese instruments. And it's really great, so I really recommend checking it out.
Well, yeah, if you told us in time, that's what all the music on the show could have been.
Aww. Oh, I don't know. It's very atmospheric. I don't know that you'd want to, you know, play it on the radio. Maybe next time.
No, that's all we'll play. Next show is just like 60 minutes of
definitely
that.
Definitely check it out.
Okay.
There's some great songs in it.
There we go, listeners. What's the name of that actual album?
It's called Emperor Rise of the Middle Kingdom OST.
There we go. YouTube that, dear friends, and report back to us.
That came out in, I think, 2003.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Googling it now. I recognize the covers,
but
which
yeah,
means it's sort of semi-recent, I guess.
Yeah, but Zeus and Poseidon are classic games, and they're very, very cheap online. Like, you can get them for $5 for the two games.
Okay.
Great.
And they're definitely worth it.
There we go. That's a solid gold Carlo guarantee.
Two Ting! Thumbs up.
Don't trust him. okay, Jenna, what about you? What have you got to show us?
Well,
show the class
I want to show
today?
You a bit of an old game.
Okay.
But It's coming back. It's coming back.
Is it as old as Carlo's game?
It's not as old as Carlo's game, so I guess I win. Oh, that one there.
Thrown out of my home.
Gone Home is a game from 2013, I believe. Mm-hmm. However, it's being released on the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 on Tuesday. So,
wow, so soon.
I mean, it's relevant.
Yeah,
it's timely.
I'd never played Gone Home.
Really?
I've heard everything about it.
Is Gone Home, it's like set in Alaska or Minnesota?
No, no. Oh, are you thinking of the little Eskimo game?
No.
Never Alone.
The one that's like, it's like you going, you're on a trip home and it's sort of you like, it's this girl going home and like the sounds, the landscape is like all these like snowscapes with trees.
No, it's the whole game takes
that
place.
That sounds lovely,
a house.
Though, Carl.
Yeah, it does. Find out what the game is.
I will find out.
But this is the one that's the mystery of like,
so
you come home and
it is. It's a mystery, but it's not. It feels like it's more of a mystery than it is. So it's about a girl. It's just an interactive story. A girl that's been backpacking for a year, and she comes home. And her family's not there. Great family, I know, who are like, oh, you've been gone a year.
It's just like,
we'll be out.
It's just like Home Alone again. Yeah. Then you have to set a series of traps for a bunch of bubbling burglars.
Her family's moved also, so they say, find your way to our new home,
wow.
And we won't be there. So she gets in, and no one's there. And by walking around and picking up things and exploring the house, you get the story of what's going on with your parents and where your sister is. And it's pretty amazing because in that year, your sister has grown quite a bit. And
I'm looking at it now. It looks like they've given it a kind of gothic horror.
It feels like a mystery. Well, what happened? What happened to the parents? Where is everybody?
Didn't they establish, though, that it's, I mean, this is very niche, but one of the people who worked on it, I think, had ties to System Shock, the game franchise. And he said that it's in the same universe as System Shock.
A few of the guys who made it worked for 2K and Irrational.
Oh, yeah, that would be it then.
So yeah.
I think they hid, like, there's an Easter egg that there's a thing from System Shock in it, and they were like, yeah, look, it's in the same universe.
Right.
So it could, it could be dark and gothic.
And that's
coming
out
pretty cool.
On
it's coming out on Tuesday on the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. It only took a couple of hours to play, but, I mean, I played it in one sitting because, like, I have to know what happened.
Yeah,
is everyone?
I really love those games that are simple and easy to play, but really fulfilling.
Yeah, I mean, you don't do anything. You click on things, and it's just,
I mean, there are games out there where you do too much.
You feel like a detective.
Give me less to do. That's all I'm asking.
Like, as we were talking about before, Bioshock Infinite would have been terrific if we didn't have to shoot anything.
Yeah. The first, 20 minutes of that game is the best part of the whole game.
Yeah.
Before the townspeople disappear.
I made that first portion last about an hour or more, just sort of like walking in every shop and sort of really studying
every
detail.
As soon as you throw the baseball, it goes downhill.
And you notice it as well in just the level design. Like, there is so much to see and to do in that first townspeople. Mm-hmm. Even there's so many unique signs, and then everything after that becomes much more generic, sprawling empty zones, like the same poster over and over again.
On the beach, every woman's face looks the same. It's terrifying.
But that's why I really looked forward to Dishonored.
Yep.
And I found it the same thing. Like, that was a game that would have been so much better if it was more about choice and less about, like, go here, kill these people.
But the choices,
and everyone looked the same. Everyone had that same awful.
I quite like Dishonored. I just am not too into stealth games. But there are some really interesting effects that there are choices that you get to physically make. Like, you can go, I'm not going to kill anyone in this mission, and that will affect the story. And if you're not seen by anyone, that affects it as well. Like, our friend Neil, who was playing that game, he got through the whole game without ever being spotted and without ever killing anybody. And so in later missions, people are like, there's a ghost. Like,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
What's the other game like that? I think Metal Gear Solid 5, where depending on how, like, so early on, like, there's heaps of bases that are pretty easy to kill. And so if you just kind of mercilessly hunt and kill them early on, it changes how well equipped the enemies in that base are. Like, the patrols get bigger. If you attack a lot at night, they start carrying like flashlights. If you just openly go
or
up and
torches.
just beat them up, or flashlights. Carlo always corrects my regional pronunciation of things. Data, he likes that. They get like more armor and stuff, or they carry shields. And so, like, I just went so gung-ho in the first 2 hours of that game. I was just, like, decimating everyone. And then the rest of that game was just brutally annoying for me. Because every base was just full of guys, just this sort of, like, RoboCop-esque dude.
Classic guards. Classic. Am I right?
The thing I wanted to talk about, which is probably my favorite gaming news story ever, is that there is going to be no Assassin's Creed game this year.
Didn't they just announce Egypt?
Yeah, but it's not coming out this year.
Also, isn't there one, not a full Assassin's Creed game, but there is something...
Oh, that's Chronicles India?
Yes.
That doesn't count,
okay,
as far as I'm concerned.
Really? I mean, it's still part of the franchise.
Well, yeah. I mean, they announced it last year. It was meant to come out last year as well. But they're like those annoying, like, sort of 2.5D sort of... like arcade gamey sort of thing. No, but what I loved about it is just that, like, the whole Assassin's Creed franchise is so overdone that it was a news story to say no Assassin's Creed game this year. Like, that's Bethesda must have seen that and just gone, ooh, okay.
But Egypt, how do you feel about that?
I don't know. See, like, my feelings on Assassin's Creed is I don't care where they all history is interesting. Just make a good game, you know?
Yeah,
like.
It's Syndicate just the same game with a different skin every time.
Like, Unity, like, the French Revolution is a really cool period of history, and that game was so blah. And so it's like, look, I don't, like, wherever you want to set it in the 70s, you know? I don't care. Just do something to make it more interesting.
You just have to get ridiculous now.
You know? Make it fun. give us a Cold War era Assassin's Creed where no one trusts anyone. It'd be great. Look, let's go to some music. This is Treasure Trove Cove from Banjo-Kazooie.
Nice.
We'll be back after this.
Here we go.
Now, Carlo, in the break there, you've been furiously Googling to try and figure out what this game is that you thought was going home. So
that
I'm going to give you
in one of the Dakotas or Iowa.
I'm going to time it. I'm going to give you 15, 20 seconds. I'll say 20 seconds to describe this game, and then it's up to the listeners to try and identify it based on your description.
Have you played this game?
No.
Okay.
It's on special.
Hang on. Okay, ready? Go, 20 seconds.
It's now a game with gold. Like, there's a discount for gold members on Xbox One. It's set in a snowy tundra, like Minnesota, Dakota. It's about a girl coming home, and it's about letters and phone messages between her and her mother.
Okay, you got seven more seconds.
I don't know very much about the game. It's very cheap. It's like $6, and there are five episodes. There are five episodes, I think.
Bang. Oh, wait, no, not Life is Strange, because you played that.
we are literally about to review that game.
So episodic, that's a good clue though. Episodic. Like,
yeah.
That would narrow it down, surely.
And if it's on the list of Xbox games right now,
so
of
you,
the gold reward.
Listeners at home, you now have the power. Listen to the podcast. We did it.
I'm going to forbid you, Carlo, from doing any more research.
Really?
Like, you're not allowed to look it up anymore, and it's up to the listeners.
Oh, man. You got it, guys.
I just want to see if they can find it.
And people listening on the podcast, they found it.
Yeah, they found it sometime, but... little did they know that finding that game was just the start of a whole mess of trouble. Let's talk powers, guys, because we're reviewing Life is Strange, which is all about the power to rewind time. Mm-hmm. And it did make me think about, like, how cool powers have been and can be in video games.
Yeah.
I mean, the rewind time thing, for me, goes back to Prince of Persia.
That's like a mess,
Sands
though,
of time.
Rewinding time.
It really is. How much would you...
Just
how
being able to change
be?
Everything, and you can't keep track of what actually happened.
Yeah.
And then it depends how far you can rewind. Like, days, and then everything's
you've
different.
Made like
and
a
then
really
the possibility that
notebook.
You've split the path of time, and
yep,
you've created
yep.
a second version of yourself that's having a really awful time.
But would you... But honestly, though, would you think about that? If you had the power to go back in time, wouldn't you be like... that's alternate reality Ben's problem, you know? And I don't have to see that guy.
Yeah.
That's the nature of... I mean, technically, we're making, you know, every decision is like potentially branching off an alternate path.
I know.
Yeah, but you're
every
not
time
actually
you...
living them twice.
Yeah, but, you know, you don't have to see it. You just go, ooh, boy, going back. It sucks to be that version of me.
Yeah.
It's like that great Gwyneth Paltrow movie, you know, where, you know, Cruisin'. They were singing...
What?
That was singing in
was
the...
Was that meant to be a... I know what you're going for there. Terrible.
Sliding doors.
But, I mean, that's a great... Time travel games are always, I think, more stressful than they should be. I mean, the freedom that you would think having time travel would allow you, it just makes you think, like, have I done it right?
Too many decisions.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, Majora's Mask is like that as well.
Do I go back?
Well, this is the thing.
Or like, and do I undo everything that I've already done as well? Because it's not all bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I still think the best time travel game for that is Majora's Mask, because there's no perfect playthrough. You can't do everything in 3 days. So you have to, there has to be a point where you go, you know what? They're not going to get saved out on the ranch. They're out. The aliens, they can have them.
You have to sacrifice
them. Yeah, you got to make that sacrifice sometimes. And that's pretty brutal.
Would you say that's the best time travel game? Majora's Mask?
That I've played, yeah. Life is Strange is really cool because it actually dealt with the repercussions of time travel.
Yeah. And it kind of has two sides of time travel, I guess. It has that sort of short-term rewind. Like, I really like the way you use that for social situations. Like, oh, I said the wrong thing in that conversation. Go back. Don't mention the dying mother. Yeah. Like, I really liked how that was sort of implemented.
I would have used that power, though, I think. Like...
Nah, use it.
No use way. It. If, like, everything Magneto I do, I'd be like, was wow, right. I sounded like an asshole. go back.
But it makes you appreciate how much of a nightmare Groundhog Day would have been to be living in. Yeah. So imagine if you make a mistake now, I have to go and live through my entire day again.
But he didn't get to choose.
I know. Do you know the writer, I can't remember his name, but you know he was that comic that did Ghostbusters and things.
Oh, Harold Ramis.
Is it Harold Ramis? Yeah. Mm. He said that when he wrote Groundhog Day, he imagined it being somewhere in the realm of 10,000 years of worth of that day.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah. And he revised it. Like, more recently he revised it. He said, probably about 60 years, 30, 60 years.
What would you... I mean, this is a very different conversation now, but, like, you have, like, 24 hours. You just pick a direction. And just... If you were trapped in it for that long, you'd just start leaving. You'd just be like...
Well, that's
the
thing,
though.
Yeah,
but he ends up in the same place every day. Yeah. So now you're just traveling for 24 hours. Yeah, and then you wake up in your own bed.
But you've become an expert of, like, what is 24 hours away for in every direction.
That's the whole point, Groundhog Day, is they're trapped in that city because they're snowed in. They can't get out.
Yeah, bugger it. You'd leave. You'd just leave.
Or learn piano.
Well, I guess every time you die in the snow, you wake up again in the town. So.
Yeah. Well, it could be. I'm thinking, like, Edge of Tomorrow. Like, you gradually become a real hardened sort of
survivalist.
You'd eventually learn how to not die in the snow.
Who's to say that he didn't? I mean, he learns how to sculpt ice. So
that's true.
Yeah.
For survival purposes. Yeah. Back on the subject of powers briefly. I feel like it's an obvious one, but I still haven't really experienced it done well. Flight. You know, like where a character, where a person can just sort of...
Just an average person?
Just a normal person, like Superman style, can just fly.
Yeah,
like
it's so always, just using it to change light bulbs and things.
It's always awkward and...
yeah, yeah, what's the game here?
Going home, but with light.
Yeah, just imagine that in that game, rather than moving, you're actually just hovering slightly, ever so slightly above the ground.
Just what you don't realize is that every first-person shooter you've ever played, you've actually been levitating. You're just a head, a disembodied head that just hovers around.
I think Banjo-Kazooie, speaking of the song we just played, did a pretty excellent job of flying.
But
as
you still,
a power?
You still needed those pads and you needed feathers. Like, I hate it when a game makes you powerful but then puts an arbitrary limitation on that power. Like, if I can fly, just let me fly.
You want to be all-powerful, do you, Ben?
Well, you then scale up the challenges.
It would be a very fun game if that's all you... the purpose of this game
still,
is just to fly around and do things.
There's still bad stuff out there, you know? Like,
Flight Simulator did really good on the power of flight.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, there was a really good flight simulator that was like...
you were Superman.
Yeah, that was the one. Oh, see, you know what? Maybe I just want a good Superman game.
Yeah.
That hasn't been one of them.
Yeah, I think that's what you're hanging out for, Ben.
Just go back and play Superman 64.
That's a classic. All of that toxic gas. Yeah, that game scarred me. What about you, Jenna? Any powers that you'd like to see in a game?
Oh, that I would like to see?
Or that you enjoyed?
See, I really... I'm a fire mage at heart.
You just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm always evil in video games too. I think that's just how my heart is.
It's
so much more fun to play like
so
that.
So a destructive power, basically.
Yeah, I just want to burn things down. So I love playing games like Diablo and where I can use my magic.
Yeah.
I love that.
To torch things.
Yeah, to torch things.
Yeah.
It's always nice in a game where your power can actually sort of affect the environment in unusual ways. Like, I don't know if you classify this as a power, but the songs in the Zelda games. Like, it was always a fun game figuring, like, unlocking the song and then figuring out what song sort of affected the world. Yeah. Yeah, and I like it when you can do that with fire in games, you know. Well, I can burn my way through that field.
Well, this actually brings out the point.
Through that family of farmers.
Oh, God. No, man.
Oh, man.
Hey, you're the evil one. I'm just...
He's just giving you the Tinder.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be cool to see a really cool open world Avatar style game where you weren't the Avatar, you just picked one bending element and you just sort of lived the life in that.
Or maybe you're a cabbage merchant.
Fun, but it was a very quick game.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I would just love, like, imagine you only see such a glimpse of that world, but like the earth bending is my favorite bending. And you see Earth Kingdom Nations, and it always made me think, like, why the hell did the Jedi Temple have a doorway? You know, these are people that can, like, manipulate time and space. Why wasn't there, like, in Omashu, the city's gates are just living stone, and they can just open it.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't the Jedi Temple have that? Yeah. They would never have been able to be attacked by anybody who wasn't a Jedi, you know?
Look, if we could question a lot of things that the Jedis did in those prequel movies, Carlo.
Yeah.
What's the problem? I don't mind sand, you know? Sand's all right. I don't
hard
know what Anakin's
to
problem is.
Very hard to bend.
It is, but worth it when you can. BioWare would make a killer Avatar game.
I know.
Now I want one. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Carlo.
Dragon Age Origin. You pick a nation and that you're... Avatar starts as, and it changes the whole game. Like, you start aligned to that nation, but ultimately you've got to bring them all together. And
we just have to hope that Disney continues to grow as an entertainment empire and eventually buys Nickelodeon.
Buys Nickelodeon, yeah.
That's the one thing, yeah. I mean, eventually they're going to own all of us. So.
Or DiMartino and the other one.
The other one.
Make a,
you know who you are. You're well loved and remembered.
If you're listening, we love Avatar.
He did some great stuff. make some game with BioWare.
Yeah.
Or they convert their new book that's not owned by Nickelodeon. Or I think it's just DiMartino made it.
Or I reckon they just do a new thing. Like pick an Avatar that hasn't been fleshed. Like, I don't know, the second or the third Avatar.
Or
no
Avatar
one knows
Kiyoshi.
About. No, she's too defined.
Yeah, she's well
like
known.
You want to make...
You already know her whole story.
Yeah,
you just
want to...
Carlo, but also she's voiced by Jennifer Hale, and BioWare would never have a protagonist voiced by Jennifer Hale. Let's go to some music and then talk Life is Strange. This is Piano Fire by Sparkle Horse from the Life is Strange soundtrack, but not exclusively. I think this is what the kids call popular music. We'll be back after this. Well, we're back with some pretty amazing news.
Breaking news!
Ding, 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 ding.
Nate, or That's Druidic on Twitter, has found the mystery game that Carlo so well described.
I found them!
The game is 3/4 Home. Well done, Nate. Well done, Carlo. Everybody.
Set in Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean, you were...
Just as Carlo said.
Kind of close. And, like, looking at the images of it, you don't have a lot to work with. It's just a cornfield. Black and white cornfield. But boy, that game looks riveting. we're just reading the plot. Game follows the struggles of one family. The protagonist named Kelly is driving through rural Nebraska when her mother calls, sparking a conversation.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Classic
chilling
phone
stuff.
Calls.
Oh, Mom.
That's what happens sometimes. You get calls and you're doing stuff. Whoa. What?
Sorry, I'm driving. I'll call you back.
Yeah. Credits.
It takes place over 5 episodes.
Yeah, it takes a while for her to get back because then she keeps forgetting. Yeah, she's got stuff to do.
It's pulled over for talking on the phone.
Yeah. But hey, you know what is a good episode? Look, I'm not making fun of that. I haven't played it. It could be great. But what is a good game that we have played? Life is Strange.
Life is Strange.
And like, it's such a bummer that we waited until, or that we both didn't finish it until the new year. Because this totally... would have been on the list for Game of the Year.
Absolutely.
For me, I think.
Yeah. It's a great game. Jenna, have you played it?
No. Ben told me today that you guys wanted to talk about that, and I was like, I've got like an hour. So I watched a playthrough of the first episode.
Oh, nice.
But that's about all. So I know what it's about, and now I want to play it.
It was amazing for me because I didn't know about the time traveling thing. Ben just said, you got to play this game. So I got into it. And
you
I
just thought
like,
it was some girl who's like, yeah, taking pictures.
I guess I'll find out what the point is. And then suddenly I travel through time. I'm like, oh, God.
This is all the things I love.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty intense the way that you find out that you can.
Yeah. It is very intense.
Like, absolutely. For high school.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually a really interesting game because it, on a surface level, it deals with a lot of like quite significant issues, you know, that are, you know, like I would say affect a lot of people in high school. Like it affects bullying, drugs, domestic violence, and various sort of ideas around popularity and figure and body type. Mm. And then it it on the other time like deals with this really intense murder mystery and time travel. Like
it's sort of like if you combine like Twin Peaks with like, it's just a really good like teen drama.
Yeah, it did have a real Twin Peaks-y vibe.
Well, they must know it too, because there's one, like one of the things in the game is sort of, it's the collectibles of this game is that there are photo opportunities, and one of them is in the public restroom of the diner. Someone's written "Fire Walk with Me" on the on their mirror, like it's
so they
filled,
know.
Yeah, like they know.
And Chloe's license plate is Twin Peaks.
Yeah, yeah, like, but it's not just that. Like,
how did you guys make this connection?
We got there, but
Ben's all reading graffiti.
But it's not just that. Like, it's just sort of like any sort of weird, surreal kind of horror or sci-fi. Like, there's a lot of references to a lot of different things.
I did get a kind of an Alan Wakey vibe from it.
Yeah, yeah.
It also reminded me, like, it took a little bit from Butterfly Effect, I think. You know,
it's because Ashton Kutcher was in it.
You know, there were some real, quite clear borrowings from that and from Groundhog Day as well. Mm. And also, it reminded me a lot of a video game. I'm not sure you guys play it, called Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Fahrenheit was this game where basically you woke up having murdered a man in a toilet and you had no recollection of doing it, and you had to choose how you disposed of the body, how you interacted with the cafe that you were in afterwards, and then how you left, and then that would affect the entire game. That initial decision.
Right. It's made by the same guy who made like Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls.
Yep.
And sort of like one of the first big console interactive movie kind of games, I guess.
So does that mean it's PlayStation exclusive?
No, it was on
PC and Xbox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think Indigo Prophecy is what it was called in
In
some places. I always forget which one we actually had.
And yeah, there were so many multiple endings. It was pretty interesting as a game.
It was a great game for actually letting you fail, but the story keeps going.
Yeah.
Like a character could just sort of die, and it was like, well, that character's dead now. You know, these other characters reacting to that character's death. Or you could lose your sanity. Similar to...
Go mad.
What's that other game?
Eternal Darkness.
Eternal Darkness, yeah.
But yeah, to go back to Life is Strange, I found it a really interesting... Like, it was a very compelling story. Like, I found it very difficult to stop playing through the chapters. I played them all in a row, and it was very difficult to stop, because I think when you add the intrigue of a murder mystery, it's something that just we instinctively sink in on, you know, like unpacking clues and wanting to find out.
I didn't get that from the first episode. Now I want that.
Yeah, right, of course.
Would you say that's what resonated with you the most, the mystery or the intrigue?
That was certainly the thing that was driving me through the game. Certainly. I love Max as a main character.
She's fantastic.
Because it just...
She might be one of my favorite protagonists.
Yeah,
definitely one of my favorite female protagonists.
She was really interesting because she wasn't really a hero. Like, it was mundanity played so well, I think. You know, like, you felt your reactions to the world were really right. And there was a decision that still haunts me after the game, is where I overwatered my plant.
Yeah.
And I still go like, God damn it, Lisa.
You should have rewound.
Yeah.
Well, the worst thing is because it does that telltale thing at the end of a chapter where it shows you what decisions you made compared to what decisions other people made. But then it also shows you like things that you missed. And that's what like that's what bothered me, because it's like you have this power of time travel and it's like you wanna perfect life.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, someone wrote something mean on like, or I could have like left a nice message for a friend on their door or something to make their day better. It's like all those.
Yeah.
And you're totally right, Carl. It's lots and lots of small little things. Like, you know, you've got to go meet a friend, and on the way you see this girl in your class get hit in the head with a football. And you can slow time or rewind time and just warn her. It's just like, oh, thanks, Max. You know, you're always looking out for me. And it's such a tiny thing, but like this one girl has so much stuff happen to her, like get splashed by a car, all these little things. And you kind of realize after doing all these small things that in this person's eyes, you're like...
You're a hero.
You're a hero. Like, you're really looking out for them. And it's sort of like... And everyone starts sort of saying, wow, Max, you're like, you're really cool. And you sort of feel like... It sort of... It really resonated with me.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It is, but it sort of resonated this idea that it's like, you know what? Like, you can change everyone's day by just doing the smallest thing, which I thought was a really nice message for a kind of teen high school sort of drama.
Yeah. But what I enjoyed about it is there's like... In games where you have this decision-based gameplay, there's always that feeling, particularly if you play it where you don't go back on your decisions. You know, like if you make a decision, you just stick with it. There is always that instinct to go, oh, did I make the right decision? Mm-hmm, I want to go back. And this is a game that actually lets you make those decisions in the game over and over again. And knowing those two outcomes or multiple outcomes is what will determine what your ultimate decision is. And that's really terrifying to have all of that information and not really knowing where it's going.
In many ways, it makes it more mature, I think, than, say, the Telltale Games version, where you're making a decision without knowing the outcome and that sort of tricks you. Sometimes it's like, oh, you know, I tried to do this and this happened. But Life is Strange, there are a lot more mature decisions. It's like, if you say this, it'll hurt this person's feelings. You'll achieve this outcome, but it's still, like, it's a shitty thing to say.
Yeah.
And, like, and you have to just sit with the weight of, you know, there is no just one good, one bad. It's just shades of, like, everything's going to have effect.
Yeah, exactly. And I think when I was first playing this game, I played it through with that Telltale mindset, and I was like, oh, this is the obvious good choice, but something bad is going to happen if I do that. And you make these decisions but that you're never really sure... If you have made the right decision, like both decisions won't have a huge impact. Like that's the thing that I enjoyed the most, really, was that you would make these decisions, which at the time seemed hugely relevant and, you know, game changing, but it were so insignificant in the grander scheme of the game. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's kind of so you know that the powerful mundane decisions that you make every day. You know?
Yeah, but you also like that power makes you really protective of your choices because you sort of go. Well, I mean, yeah, I've got the absolute freedom to choose however this goes, but once I've stuck with a decision and then walk out the door, I don't have any choice anymore.
Yeah.
And so you agonize over it more.
No, that's weird, though. If you can rewind time, it's just the walking out the door bit. You're like,
Well, that's
where I can't do anything.
Yeah. Well, it's because she sort of has, like, a very limited... It's like she can rewind time for, like, 5 minutes or so. And there are instances in the game where... in fact, sorry, I'm not going to spoil anything in particular, but... there are some great moments where you've gotten really used to having this power and all of a sudden sort of limitations or occasions start showing up where Max starts to realize that it isn't this limitless thing. And it really like sort of throws you for a loop when you've gotten used to this. No
and now
consequences.
You're just like, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're best friends with everyone because you've navigated every conversation so that you've worked in like their favorite food and like, hey, I heard you really like this film. Oh yeah, it's pretty great. You know.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden just bang and you're like you're just like a normal person again. You have to make a decision and it was great.
Yeah. No, really, really definitely wish I had played it in time to put it in Game of the Year because it is a really tremendous game. So you're going to have a lot of fun playing it, Jenna.
I will.
I am going to try and erase it from my memory.
It's got a murder mystery as well. I definitely want to play that.
Solid recommendation. In fact, I'd say probably better than any of the Telltale games that came out last year as well. Probably like the best narrative game, like sort of narrative episodic game of the year.
Yeah, and it was just fun because the stakes, you know, in the stakes are so high generally in those Telltale games, and then those these episodic games, like, you don't make the right decision, you'll die, like, or someone will die. Whereas in this, the stakes were so low, there was this real, it was just this very placid...
They were low, but they mattered.
There was still this ongoing suspense, but you were agonizing over some very small decisions, and I think that's quite a great premise for a game.
Yeah. Look, let's go to some messages and say goodbye. Well, that brings us to the end of another show. Carlo and Jenna, thanks for coming on.
Hey, it was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was great.
As always, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook particularly is the place to be if you want to find out about our next bonus stage.
A lot of gifts, a lot of great times, got a laughs.
Yeah, we haven't officially sort of announced it yet, but we are doing an RTX After Hours show on January the 23rd if you're in Sydney. Come along to that. We're still finalizing guests, but there's a very good possibility we're going to have some cool, special guests. Yeah. That's as vague as we're going to get by saying it, but slowly. basically, keep tuned to the old page. Until then, we'll play you out with Threshold from the Journey soundtrack. Matt Kelly's up next. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.